Trading in futures products entails significant risk of loss, which must be understood prior to trading and may not be appropriate for all investors.
Good morning, everybody. It's Wednesday, May 1st. Welcome to a new month, 5:25 a.m. Central Time. Grain markets are mixed this morning. July corn futures down a half cent at 4:46 and a quarter. July soybeans down four at 11:59. July Chicago wheat up 4 3/4 at 6:08. July Kansas City wheat down 1 1/4 at 6:34. July spring wheat down two at 7:02 1/4. Let's start off with this biofuel business.
So yesterday, the Biden administration released updated guidance on sustainable aviation fuel subsidies. Biofuel made from corn, soybeans, and other agricultural products is acceptable in the production of SAF. In order for biofuel producers to receive SAF tax credits, they must show that their fuel emits at least 50% less emissions than petroleum-based jet fuel. To achieve this, the ethanol used in the production of SAF will need to originate from a farm that is using climate-smart ag practices. These practices include efficient fertilizer application, no-till farming, and the use of cover crops.
At best, this is a starting point. At worst, this is a kick the can down the road type deal when it comes to biofuel and SAF policy. Yesterday's announcement applied only to the 40B tax credit, which is really applicable through the end of this year. There was nothing here on 45Z, which is really what we need to see. In order for corn to qualify for the 40B credit, which is what's in question here, the crop must meet all three of these requirements: no-till, cover crops, and enhanced efficiency nitrogen programs. Because all three of those must be met, it's going to be very, very hard for farmers to qualify this year. You got to remember this, there's not one SAF plant in the United States that is converting U.S. corn to sustainable aviation fuel. That LanzaJet plant in Georgia is going to use Brazilian sugar ethanol, at least for the moment, and it's very unlikely that any material amount of U.S. corn is going to be used to produce SAF this year. So really, we're still waiting on 45Z guidance, and that's what we need. The document said this: a new 45Z GREET will be developed for use with the 45Z tax credit, and that's the one that's supposed to start, I believe, on January 1st and provide some more flexibility. Successful Farming had an article on their website, and they included some commentary from all of the lobbies. A few of the lobbies. I'm going to read through some of this. This is from Renewable Fuels Association, Jeff Cooper. He said, "We are encouraged that for the first time ever, this carbon scoring framework will recognize and credit certain climate smart agricultural practices. However, RFA believes less prescription on ag practices, more flexibility, and additional low carbon technologies and practices should be added to the modeling framework. We view today's 40B announcement as the starting point, not the ending point. 45Z is where the rubber really meets the road." Growth Energy said, "This guidance crosses an important threshold in carbon modeling, recognizing for the first time that farming techniques can reduce the carbon intensity of crops. Still, the administration's restrictive all-or-nothing approach to recognizing the value of climate-smart ag practices may ultimately limit innovation and make farmers, blenders, and producers less, not more, likely to invest in emissions-reducing technologies." The American Soybean Association, and their president is from North Dakota, I believe. "For growers like me in North Dakota, short growing seasons and unpredictable fall weather make the cover crop requirement alone next to impossible. Growers in the Northern Plains do so when possible. However, employing both no-till and cover cropping is contrary to what Mother Nature will allow, no matter what the guidance specifies." The American Coalition for Ethanol said this: "While today's announcement is a step in the right direction, ethanol to jet continues to face headwinds such as artificially inflated land use change penalties in 40B GREET and the initial all or nothing requirement to bundle three CSA practices in order to produce qualifying corn ethanol for feedstock SAF. Iowa Renewable Fuels Association said this: "The approved bundle of farm practices won't work for many Iowa farmers, let alone farmers throughout the Midwest, given the range of climates, soil types. Farmers do not want one-size-fits-all bundles mandated from D.C. So very much mixed reactions here. I feel like I'm personally disappointed in this. We wanted guidance on 45Z, and we didn't get it. In today's premium video, Pete Meyer is going to be on with me to discuss the details of this and what it really means for you guys in terms of corn production, marketing, prices, all of that stuff in the future. What are going to be best practices as we move forward? How do you navigate this? That video will be blasted out to the premium subs at 10 a.m. Central Time.
Rain will return to portions of the central U.S. on Thursday and Friday this week. Over the next 5 days, the heaviest amounts will be seen in Iowa, Missouri, Wisconsin, southeast Nebraska, eastern Kansas, Oklahoma, Texas, Arkansas, and some areas of the southeast. Amounts may total 1 to 2 inches in these areas. The 10-day forecast is wet for almost the entire central U.S. and the entire U.S. Corn Belt. Amounts in excess of 2 inches are being projected by this morning's Euro model. The GFS is just as wet and offers even more rain through the 16-day period.
Looks like we're going to see some pretty active weather here for a couple of weeks. So whatever planting has not been done, may not be done for a while. We're ahead of schedule in terms of both corn and soybean planting as of Sunday. But given this forecast, I question how long we remain ahead of schedule. Are planting delays, and delays is again a strong word, but they're going to be delayed. I mean, technically, is that a reason to be bullish the market? Not yet. Give it a couple of weeks, and if we're not past that, 50% threshold by mid-May, then yeah, that's a problem. But we're not there yet.
So if you guys have not checked out our premium content, you need to do so. You will not find content like this anywhere else. Joe, can you tell me about the video you put together yesterday?
People sometimes ask, maybe I don't advertise it enough. Joe, is there grain marketing stuff included in your premium subscription? Yeah, I mean, that's kind of the whole point of it. And then we include a whole bunch of other stuff like policy, charting, a lot of related items, but grain marketing's the big deal. Yesterday, I did a comprehensive grain marketing review. We ran through, I believe, 3 marketing years worth of corn, soybeans, and wheat, cash sales, what I've advised, what my thoughts are, what my targets are. We also talked about corn seasonals just a little bit. This is a super, super simple and easy to track approach to grain marketing. There's not any option trading involved or very, very little. I think I've advised 1 option trade, maybe the last 2 years. Cash sales, I tell you what I'm doing, when I'm doing them. I benchmark them versus futures contracts and track everything. If you guys want to see that video, go to standardgrain.com this morning. You'll also see that video with Pete regarding the biofuel stuff later today. This is a $50 per month subscription. You can cancel at any time. No other fee, no other obligation. Nobody will try to sell you anything else. Give that deal a shot this morning, guys.
Vessels carrying wheat bound for Egypt are delayed in Russia. Despite being inspected and approved for shipment, the ships have been stuck in Russian ports for weeks. The vessels are each carrying about 60,000 metric tons of wheat. Egypt's state grain trader purchased the wheat from Russian grain exporter TDRIF. The agricultural company has had issues with Russian federal authorities failing to grant its ships clearance in recent months. The dispute has resulted in the delay of hundreds of thousands of grain shipments.
I don't think that this is a problem necessarily. This is one commercial essentially that's having some issues with the Russian government. I'm not exactly sure what the reason is. I mean, this is your biggest exporter, shipping wheat to one of your biggest importers, and maybe that's noteworthy. I just don't know that it's a market mover right here and now.
Shares of ADM declined sharply yesterday. Shares fell as much as 5.5%, the largest drop since January. The decline was due to ADM announcing a reduction in profit through the rest of the year. Reduced farmer sales and abundant grain supplies are pressuring margins. Additionally, an increase in imports of alternative feedstock for biofuel production, such as used cooking oil, is also hurting profits. ADM's per share earnings during the first quarter of this year dropped by 30% from a year earlier to $1.46. The company made headlines back in January when an investigation into its accounting practices caused its market value to drop more than $8 billion in one day.
So the ADM share price, for those of you guys who care, has been under some pressure. I mean, prior to the accounting probe, it was in the $70, $80 range, and now it's in the 60s. Had a nasty day yesterday. I don't know if I'll say that they're out of the woods, but maybe that was the end of the bad news. Yesterday was the ideal thing. And I think a lot of you guys were worried about, there was concern for a moment about cash grain contracts and money in your brokerage account and that sort of stuff. I think everything's pretty safe.
At the conclusion of its meeting today, the Federal Reserve is likely to signal that rate cuts will not be happening anytime soon. In March, officials projected two or more rate cuts by the end of the year. Officials have indicated that they are comfortable holding rates higher for longer. They believe this approach will ease inflation toward the Fed's goal of 2%. This outlook suggests the Fed isn't likely to consider raising rates anytime soon.
I think it's very possible that your yield on the 10-year eclipses that fourth quarter of 2023 peak. It's been moving higher for several weeks in a row now. We're up to almost 4.7% this morning. Yeah, they're not going to be able to cut this year, I don't think. I mean, and if it happens, it's going to be very late in the year. And there are a whole different set of implications when it comes to keeping rates steady or even higher at some point. Some people have made the case that they may need to hike again. And if they hike again, the one thing that we've discussed is that the interest payments on the national debt are going to become your biggest line item when it comes to government spending, which is absolutely terrifying, banana republic type stuff. What did cattle do yesterday?
They sank lower over worries of the USDA testing ground beef for bird flu particles, as I touched on yesterday. Feeders were down 345 to 445 lower. Live cattle ended the day down 40 cents to 272 lower. Box beef continues to be sluggish at a time when we typically see a seasonal rally. Choice ended the day at 294.37. That was down 316. And select ended the day at 289.95. That was down 26 cents.
Outside markets, U.S. dollars up just a little bit. Stocks are off. The S&P is down 26. The Dow's down 110. Bonds are flat. Crude oil is down $1.15 at $80.78 in the June WTI. Have a great day, guys. Talk to you on Thursday.